الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Subhanallah, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I was preparing for something, I can't remember exactly what, and I was reading a book by a classical scholar of Islamic spirituality named Al-Harawi, and I came across a line in that book that, subhanAllah, when I read it, it hit me like a brick. And even when I read it, I paused and I was just blown away by the line. And subhanAllah, I kept, that line has like reverberated in my mind ever since. So I want to share that line with you because I find it to be very beneficial in processing the world around us. In fact, that's the context that he presents the line in. So let me take a step back and just explain the context and then I'll share the line with you. So essentially what he's speaking about is he's speaking about high character. So the topic that he's discussing is high character. And he's explaining that high character is the ultimate manifestation of the deen. Now, before I go further, I just want to pause here and just remind everyone that the first challenge of deen is to submit to the tenets of the deen. So, for example, a person takes the shahada, or a person undergoes some sort of like rejuvenation in their deen, and then the challenge becomes, I've got to ensure that I offer my 5 prayers, I've got to ensure that I fast the month of Ramadan, I have to ensure that I go for hajj, that I pay for that I pay my zakah, etc. Right? These are the, we call them obviously the pillars of deen. The pillars of deen, they have their own challenges, right? Doing acts of worship, they're challenging. You have to take the time out. You have to give the appropriate focus. You have to discard distractions that might take you away from those acts of worship. However, I would argue that there's another layer above the acts of worship that are actually an expression of those acts of worship. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean that, like I've said before, and just to highlight that same concept, acts of worship are potential energy. Acts of worship are potential energy. It's hard to do worship. It's hard to come into the masjid and drop everything and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you look at the grand scheme of things, that's actually the easiest to do. Once a person begins to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even before that, but once a person turns to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the tests aren't necessarily in the acts of worship. The tests will come in the outside world when we interact with others. That's where the true challenges will arise. So, for example, you know, you come into the masjid, you offer a prayer in the masjid. Okay, there's a test there in the sense that there's a challenge, you have a responsibility, Allah has put this responsibility on our shoulders and we fulfill this responsibility. But you take something from the masjid. Right? You take a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you from the masjid. Now what happens is you go out into the outside world and you have to transact with the people. And it's in dealing with the people that the true consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tested. So does my worship translate into high character? For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, just again highlight this principle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that if a person fasts, but doesn't leave evil speech and evil acts, then Allah has no need for their fast. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَجَّ Allah has no need for their fast. Now, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that if a person doesn't leave evil deeds that they should leave fasting because Allah doesn't have a need for the fast. What it's highlighting is that fasting is one layer. But once a person fasts, then they need to appreciate that the potential energy generated by the fast has to be converted into the kinetics of good behavior. The true sign of a fast isn't that a person stayed hungry. The true sign of a fast is that the fast generated a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pervaded throughout their day such that it changes the way in which they behave with others. You can clearly see an expression of that fast in their character when they behave with others. Now, what is high character? Interestingly, he's defining high character in that I'm not, this isn't the line, but just coming to my head as I'm speaking. He says high character is two things. High character is two things. Number one, saving people from your evil. What does it mean? It means I appreciate my weaknesses and I'm going to save, he doesn't say people, he says creation. Saving creation from my evil, right? So through my worship, I begin to realize that, well, you know, I might be a little angry or I might be a little rash. Or I might be a little harsh, because worship is a mirror, correct? In the truest worship, we see ourselves. So now I look at that image of myself and I say, well, you know, I'm somebody who has anger in them, or I'm somebody who has rashness in them, or I'm somebody who is quick to insult another person. So now I appreciate that, and then in the context of that, I come to recognize that I have to save all of creation from the evil within me. This is the first part of high character. So this ties back into the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, which we just highlighted a moment ago, which is that a person can fast, but if it doesn't stop them from evil words and evil deeds, then Allah has no need for their fast. So that's point number one, which is that the kinetics of the potential energy generated by worship needs to be converted into the kinetics of good character. And by the way, just as an aside, since I brought it up, he defines good character as two things. Number one, saving people from our evil. Not people, sorry. He says al-khalq, so creation. Saving creation from the evil within us. And number two, extending as much goodness as possible. So basically, it's like I look in the mirror and I say, these are my weaknesses, these are my strengths. I need to save creation from my weaknesses. And I need to spread my strengths within creation. So where I see that maybe there's a little bit of generosity in me, I need to be extra generous. Where there's a little bit of kindness in me, I need to be extra kind. Right? So he's defining this as high character. Okay, then, and this is the line that I want to share, then he says, when you're dealing with people, this is where the challenge lies. Now, again, I'm paraphrasing, okay? I don't remember the exact words he uses throughout the whole thing until I come to this word line. But essentially, he's saying that when you deal with people in the world, you're going to have to, that's where the challenge arises. Why? Because the way the world works is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like life is a stage. It's like a little play, okay? And you know in a play, like people come in and out and there's like a scene on the stage. So what's happening in life is that you're living your life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send circumstances to test us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send circumstances to test us. So somebody will walk onto our stage and he will or she will say something that presses the exact button that drives us crazy. And like I've said before, it's funny because it won't bother 10 other people in the room. And you can go and tell 10 other people that this person said this and everybody will be like, yeah, alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah, forgiveness, forgive them, right? But inside, it'll burn you up. And something will happen to another person and you'll give them the same advice they gave you. You say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, forgive, but it'll be burning them up. Because it's like a receptor, you know, in biology, there's like receptors and then there's molecules that specifically bind that receptor in a very, very, in a very avid way. That's how life is. Literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test each of us in the stage of life with the exact test that fits us like a glove. And then what happens is we have to appreciate something, which is that we have to see the picture for the pixel. Meaning you can't get caught up in the fact that, for example, and I've given this example before and it's just a silly example, but okay, your neighbor puts his garbage can or her garbage can on your driveway. It'll drive you nuts. It doesn't matter where the garbage can, it's gonna be moved anyway, it's literally out for a few hours, but it'll be the thing that drives you nuts. Okay, so neighbor puts garbage can on your driveway, right? And the knee-jerk reaction will be that, like, I wanna, like, give this person a little piece of my mind. Like, who are you to put, like, don't you have any common sense? Look at every other, you'll drive, literally drive around the neighborhood, you'll see every person's garbage can will be on their driveway. And all of a sudden, the neighbor's garbage can's on your driveway. But this is really just a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, I can go there and give them a piece of my mind and show them who's boss and explain to them, like, you know, didn't you learn anything? Look at the drive, look, go drive around and check out the entire neighborhood. But that's not what the situation demands. The situation demands recognizing that it's not a big deal and that people essentially are bound by their circumstances. And it's really just a test for me. And I give you a silly example, like a garbage can on a driveway, but you get the point, right? Some family member will say X, or some person will do Y, or your coworker will do Z, or your parents will do A, or your spouse will do B, whatever it might be. That's just the nature of life. Inevitably, life is a test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly testing us. Every person in this room is being tested. There is no grass that's greener on the other side. It always looks greener, but when you get on the other side, everything is just a test. Okay, with all of that background, now he shares this piece of advice. He says, this is what you have to keep in mind to appreciate how you can pass this test of high character. And then he says the following. Again, I hope I don't mess it up, but anyway. Al-khalq بِأَقْدَارِهِمْ مَرْبُوطُونَ وَفِي طَاقَتِهِمْ مَحْبُوسُونَ وَعَلَى الْحُكْمِ مَوْقُوفُونَ. SubhanAllah, it's fantastic, fantastic advice. Al-Khalq, creation, بِأَقْدَارِهِمْ مَرْبُوطُونَ, are tied by their destinies. Creation is tied by their destinies. Essentially, what he's saying here is that these are strings, these are puppets on a string. All these situations that come up in life and people walking in and out of the play that I described on and off of the stage, these are actually all puppets on a string. And who is the true doer? Who is the fa'il haqiqi? You know, like we say, fa'il haqiqi, the true doer. Who's truly in control of everything? Who's the writer of destinies? Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is the writer of destinies. So when people behave in a certain way, from one angle, they have responsibility because everybody has agency and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them to account for their agency. So they have to answer for their deeds. This isn't freeing them of their responsibility, but it's giving us a perspective on the outside world, which we barely can control. Right? You can't control the outside world. People are going to be who they're going to be. They're going to say what they say. They're going to do what they do. But al-khalq, all of creation, bi-aqdarihim, by their destinies, marbutun, are bound. They're bound by their destinies. They're puppets on a string. Now, he's not saying puppets on a string. I'm just translating it that way. Essentially, when somebody comes and says something, it's really, they're not the one that is speaking. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's controlling. So here comes a dog, runs and barks. It's barking at you. It's not the dog that's barking at you. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls the dog, who permitted the dog to bark at you. That doesn't mean you shouldn't run from the dog. That's a separate story. And it doesn't mean there isn't blame on the owner of the dog. That's a separate story. But you have to isolate variables, right, if you want to understand any equation. So I'm isolating one variable, which is the variable of me. And when I look at the world, I need to appreciate that people are bound by their destinies. They're going to do what they're bound to do. These are puppets on a string. You can scream and yell at the puppets on the string, but in the end, you have to think about the one who's controlling all the puppets. That's where true power lies. So, this is the first thing he's saying: al-khalq bi-aqdarihim marbutun, wa fi taqatihim mahbusun, and in their abilities are restricted, limited. People have just limited abilities. Like, you can scream and yell at the person that they should change, but they're just limited. They're not going to be able to change. Only Allah can change people. You can look at somebody and say, this person has this problem and this problem and this problem, and you can keep saying, this person has this problem, this problem, this problem, but people are just limited. They have such little ability, and all tawfiq only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can sit there and critique everyone and tell everyone why they should be this and why they should be that, but they're all limited. So instead of worrying about, you know, what people are doing, you should just worry about how you should react to what people are doing. And then, what was the third line? Al-khalq bi-aqdarihim marbutun wa fi taqatihim mahbusun wa ala al-hukmi mawqufun. And they're dependent upon the hukm of Allah. Whatever Allah wrote is what's going to happen. So they're just really just playing it out. Now, again, I'm taking this from one angle, right? Because like I said, in any equation, you have to isolate variables. So this is the equation of how I need to look at the world. Every person has to look in the mirror and answer the questions, how can I improve myself? That's a separate discussion. But how am I going to think about the world when I engage it? So essentially, what he's really saying is the following. He's saying that anytime you engage with people, you get caught up in the pixel of the circumstance. What's the pixel? The pixel is that Zayd said X when he should have said Y. Or Bakr did X when he should have done Y. Or my neighbor, just to go back to that example, my neighbor did this when they should have done that. However, that's the pixel. That's the narrow-sighted vision that we have that limits our ability to appreciate the world as it exists. What's the bigger picture? The bigger picture is La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that controls everything. And nobody can harm me except that Allah permitted them to harm me, and nobody can benefit me except that Allah permitted them to benefit me. So I need to see past the pixel, and I need to see the bigger picture, which is that everybody's bound by their destinies, which Allah has written. Everybody's limited in their power because Allah has only granted limited tawfiq and gives tawfiq to whom He wills. And everybody's restricted by the hukm of Allah because everything's running on the hukm of Allah. Nothing happens except through the will of Allah. So while the pixel might be, why did this person do this, or why did they say this, or why did they behave like this, or why can't they do this, or why shouldn't they should treat me like this. That's the pixel, but the bigger picture is La ilaha illallah, nothing happens except through the will of Allah. So this is where the true challenge lies. Which honestly, all of deen is essentially this challenge, correct? All of deen is this challenge. All of deen is essentially breaking the pixel and seeing the picture. The pixel is, I'm caught up in my circumstances, what do I wear, where do I live, what's my status amongst the people, how much wealth do I have. These are all little mind traps, the traps of the pixel. Well, what's the bigger picture? None of this world matters anyway. The only thing that's going to matter is my deeds, and my deeds are the ones that are going to go to the grave, and no one's going to remember my name. That's the bigger picture. So this is the reality of all of Islam. Somebody comes and asks you for $10, and you start giving yourself a lecture in your mind, like, oh my God, this person's asking me again for $10, and if this person had half a brain, they would figure out how to live their life, so they wouldn't need to ask anybody for anything, and why is this person asking me for $10, and they, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality, that's just the pixel. What's the bigger picture? The bigger picture is, subhanAllah, this person needs $10, and I am more in need of giving $10 than the person is in need of receiving it. Right? That's the bigger challenge in any circumstance of sadaqah, which is that I am more in need of giving than this person is in need of receiving. And again, that takes you back to what? It takes you back to La ilaha illallah. That everything is just a test from Allah. Somebody comes in the picture and asks you for $10, they're bound by their destiny. They're coming and asking you as a test on you, not as some sort of need on their behalf. Now, again, from one angle, you can see the need. That's a separate discussion. But I'm just telling you how you have to think about the world around you. So he shares this piece of advice, and I'll just tell you, subhanAllah, when I read this, I just paused. Because I said, wow, that's exactly the way that you can have high character. Right? He's giving it, by the way, this advice is being given in the context of high character, high morals, high ethics. How do you have high morals? How do you have high ethics? You have to be able to see past people and be able to recognize that it's all just a test from Allah. You have to be able to see past the puppet and recognize that there are strings and those strings are being controlled by the one who controls all. Now, if you look at life that way, then it becomes a completely different ballgame. And by the way, this is the challenge of Islam. Like, look, I've said this before. If your mother treats you like a princess and you treat your mother like a queen, then that's not Islam. That's just like basic humanity. Every person on the street will tell you that that's what you should do. Like, I could go pull over any person at the bus stop and say, you know, this person treats me like a king. So this person treats me like a prince, so I treat them like a king. And they would say, oh, okay. So yeah, I agree. That's a nice thing. Everyone agrees. That's not Islam. There's no challenge there. That's just like human basic decency. Where does the challenge lie? The challenge lies, this person treats me like a pauper and I treat this person like a king. That's where the challenge lies. Because why? Then I'm not doing it as a reciprocation for the way they treated me. I'm doing it because I'm truly see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the end goal in this transaction. Like walking into the masjid and giving salam to the person that you know really well, that you're the most comfortable with, or sitting next to the person that you know really well and you're the most comfortable with, that's not a challenge. Yeah, there's a reward associated with giving salam to anybody, but that's not the truest challenge and the greatest benefit of giving salam. The real challenge lies when you walk into the masjid and you see somebody that's new, or somebody that you don't recognize, or maybe somebody that doesn't share some of the same cultural similarities that you have with another person. And then you go to that person and you give salam. Now there's a massive reward. Why? Because you didn't give salam for yourself. In that circumstance, you gave salam recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was watching. Trying to earn a greater reward out of a deed that might have been relatively mundane. So, this advice, honestly, I feel like you could write it in gold. You know, sometimes there's these statements that you hear that they're worth their weight in gold. This is one of those. Al-khalq bi-aqdarihim marbutun. All of creation is bound by their destinies. وَفِي طَاقَتِهِمْ مَحْبُوسُونَ And in their abilities are restricted. وَعَلَى الْحُكْمِ مَوْكُوفُونَ And are dependent upon the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning no one can do except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits them to do. And if you look at the world this way, it helps to process the world. Again, I'm not saying that that doesn't place responsibility on others for their behavior, or that you don't have to think about other dimensions. Put all that aside for a second. I'm just saying this is a very valuable piece of advice that he's sharing to help interact and engage the world in a way that allows a person to exhibit high character. Because you see through the immediate circumstance to the bigger picture, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fa'il haqiqi, He is the one that is in control of all. And so if there's a difficult situation, I just have to bear it patiently because there's a greater good and a greater opportunity that is before me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be able to appreciate the true nature of every interaction, and may He make us amongst those who are able to exhibit the highest ethics and character. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ